How we doing, nine? Man, let's go. Let's go. So I heard it was the last nine of the year. Is that right? I literally walked into that. I had no idea. So we got to bring some energy tonight. All right. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? I think the Lord's got a message tonight for all of us. I needed to. I think he's got a message. And so I'm so grateful to be here with you guys tonight. My name is Grant Trout. I'm in the Watermark Institute. It's a 10-month Bible program where we study the entire Bible, cover to cover. We're in Revelation. Wish me luck, man. I'm holding on by a thread, learning the hard stuff. And so just a year ago, I was at SMU coming into this. We got ponies. Yes, sir. We never have any pride, man. I love that. And I was walking in these doors, and I would sit in the back, and I would watch Coop and G teach, and it's just such an honor. Never thought I would be up on this stage. And so thank you guys for giving me the time. To give you a little bit about who I was, picture me. I'm going to start with an image. 5 years old, I was a chubby kid, a little thick, had bleached blonde white hair, right? So biggest dream was just to go to the NBA. I'm outside shooting outside, got my Velcro Nikes on, got my brother out there, and I'm shooting, right? And bricking everything. My brother's making all his shots, and so finally I miss a shot, bounces, goes over the fence, like a 5-foot fence, huge for a 5-year-old, right? So I walk up, I get up there, I'm so mad. And I'm at the top of this fence, and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna make this jump. It's a big jump. But what I don't see is this 5-foot, like, sprinkler. There's a sprinkler coming out of the ground. I don't see it. So it's all black. It's camouflaged. But I'm like, I'm gonna jump. And so I jump off this ledge and, like, spear this sprinkler literally straight down the middle. I am dangling off, stuck on the sprinkler. Like, literally stuck. And at 5 years old, I yell S-H-I-T as loud as I can. Like, as loud as I can. I don't know where I learned that. And my dad is rebounding for my brother. And so immediately I look, and my dad locks eyes with me. And I'm like, the fear of God is struck in my heart. And I untangle myself off this sprinkler, and I'm running away. And as I'm running, I'm looking back, and he starts taking off behind me. And I was like, oh no, not today. And I turn on the burners, and I got this big chubby kid running, and I'm running around my house. I make it to my room, and finally I'm in my room, and I'm curling up, and I'm just waiting. And the reason I start there tonight is because I think that reflects a lot of our relationships with the Lord. And what do I mean by that? We're in this series studying the heart and the life of Jonah, who was known for the runaway. And if I'm being honest, it wasn't just at 5 years old that I was running away from my father. I was running for 23 years from my heavenly father, from my calling, from my purpose. And I'm done. And I was like, hey, Jesus, I've tasted it. It is done. I am done running. But the reason I start there is because I think there's a lot of us in here tonight that are running from your purpose. And you may not be running, you may not think you're running, but we all run. Isaiah 53:6 says, we all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so whether or not we like it, we all have the heart of a runaway. Since we were born, that's called a sin nature. As soon as you were born, you were like, I'm gonna choose that. And it's funny, I was walking by a friend yesterday and he put his baby down. And what do you do when you put babies down that can start to walk and run? Immediately take off. And I'm like, it's so natural for us. Like, what's danger? Run to the pool, you know, run to the stove. We immediately run to danger. And I just want to start there tonight because I want to title tonight's message, Stop Running and Start Responding. Because for 2 chapters, we've seen Jonah be the runaway. But if we're being honest, man, if my life was in the Bible, if it was the book of Grant, I would look a lot worse than Jonah. Like, we rag on Jonah, but I think if all of our lives were in a book and we opened it up, we're like, man, that's a runaway. Like, that is a runaway. And so if you're taking notes tonight, I want to start in Jonah chapter 3. It's literally the craziest chapter in the Bible. I'm like, Coop, you gave me a good chapter, man. We're getting into it tonight. So turn there if you have a Bible. But title this, Stop Running, Start Responding. We're going to start in verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, which is like, how many times do we need a second and third and fourth time? Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God, They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Like crazy, bro. What? Jonah walks in, finally responds, gives an 8-word sermon, and the entire city repents. And if you're not with us real quick, if you haven't been with us for week one or week two, let me recap Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. Who's a prophet? Chosen by God to go and speak for God's people. Jonah, from the very beginning, just so sarcastic. It's like, dude, what are you mad at? Like, always mad. And God's like, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach this message. Jonah's like, no, I'm going this way. Jonah goes, gets on a ship. He's on this ship, and a big storm comes. And Jonah's dead asleep in the bottom. The guys are like, what is this sketchy dude in the bottom? Why is he sleeping? Like, what do you know about this storm? And he's like, I know exactly about this storm. My God is sitting in the storm. I'm running from God. They're like, you're running from God? Like, what are you doing? And he's like, I know how to fix this. Throw me off the boat. And it's weird. Like, all throughout Jonah, he like wants to die. Like, you'll see it if you read it. Like, the dude's like, just kill me, God. And he gets thrown off, and the winds cease. He's treading water, right? Doesn't have his floaty. So he's like, God, what are we doing here? And all of a sudden looks down, massive fish swallows him up. And I think I read that so often. I'm like, okay, great fish. 3 days. We know the story of Jonah. That's crazy. But like 3 days in a fish, like 72 hours in the fish. What was that like going down? You know, with like your knee behind your elbow and you're like hitting the scorpion down this esophagus and you're in the stomach and your like face is against the wall. And what was that like? And I got to imagine the first 24 hours, the dude's like twiddling the thumbs and he's like, am I still alive? Like, what are we doing, God? And next 48 hours, you're like, what are you doing? Ping pong against the wall by yourself. And you imagine the reflection time Jonah had. And I see it all throughout the Bible. I'm like, he had to talk to that fish. Like, the fish had to talk back. And he's like, so what are you in here for? You know, like, it's the tail. And he's like, man, I'm running from God. He's like, you're taking time out of my day. My day, I had a family reunion. I got to Uber you to Nineveh, taking time out of my day. Finally, chapter 2, Cooper hit it. Deep prayer, deep sorrow. God hears him. Start at chapter 3, spit out of the whale. The whale shot him up and he's on dry land. And so here we are, and that's what I just read. And so what we're gonna be covering tonight is for the first time, we see a response in Jonah's heart. And so I'm gonna give you three responses that took Jonah from the reluctant runaway to the obedient servant. And so the first response that we see in Jonah, it's simple, say yes. Say yes, I'm gonna read it again. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. It's like, did you catch that? Every other moment in the book, Jonah's like, no, I'm good. No, I'm good. I'm in the belly. I'm in the fish. I'm in the ship. All of a sudden, it's like, no, Jonah arose and Jonah went. And I don't know what God's telling you to say yes to, but I know he's telling you to say yes to something. And sometimes saying yes to sexual purity may look like you don't get a date in college. And sometimes saying yes to living a holy life may be like people making fun of you because you listen to the music that they don't listen to. You don't cuss like they do. I don't know what God's telling you to say yes to, but I know there's a yes on your heart. And we feel it, because I remember being in this room and I was like, man, God, I'm gonna give you it all, but like, girls, no, you can't have that. You know, that's what I'm keeping on to. And alcohol, like, I'm gonna do it every once in a while. And I'm telling you guys, it is worth it. It is a simple thing, but it is a say yes. We see it in Jonah's life. He finally said, I know what it's like to be in the belly of the whale. I'm saying yes, I'm coming. And so in my own life, what this looked like is the more I walk with Jesus, I always thought that saying yes was like, man, I'm in. This one big yes. But realistically, the more you walk with Jesus, it's all about the small, simple yeses. Moment to moment, day by day, in this moment tonight, Jesus, how can I be obedient? How can I be obedient? Because we ask for trees and God gives you seeds. And he's like, hey, I want you to plant. I want you to water. I want you to sit. Luke 16:10, whoever is faithful with the little will be faithful with much, but whoever is dishonest with the little will be dishonest with much. Institute homework, bruh, testing me. But I'm like, Lord, all right, I'm asking for this, but you're saying be faithful with the small. and it's a yes. There needs to be an automatic yes in your heart. I called a friend the other day and I was like, it went straight to voicemail and he had me on do not disturb. And the funny thing is I think we got Jesus on do not disturb, right? So when he calls, it's immediately like, no. But I'm gonna go check the voicemail, and if it's what I'm feeling and it's what I'm wanting, I may say yes. And it's like, we gotta take Jesus off do not disturb. And anything he puts on your heart, it's the small things, guys. I was at this restaurant one time, or I was at this coffee shop, and there's this girl in the corner, and she doesn't look homeless, but it's like, I couldn't tell. But I felt it in my heart. God was like, go talk to her. And I was like, God, like, that's gonna be, I don't wanna be disrespectful. Like, I don't wanna seem like I'm like, you know. And he's like, and I want you to give her money. Finally, I'm like, okay, I build up the courage and I walk over and I'm like, hey, I don't know. Like, God, I need to talk to you. And she starts crying and I share the gospel with her. And on Christmas Day, a couple weeks later, my family packs up this meal and we give it to her and she's bawling crying. And she's like, I've been praying for God to show me somebody, to show me he's real. And I'm not some hero for that. I fail all the time. I don't listen a lot of the times. But I'm telling you, walking with Jesus is not this once and for all. That's when you're saved. But the daily small yeses, yes, Jesus, I will. I'll stop listening to that music. I'll stop that. And it's so important. And so the first response we see is to say yes. I had a friend, so I was pretty reckless in high school and separated, and the Lord's saved me for like 3 years now. And so I have a whole group of friends that I just had to separate from. And there's that one friend that you're like, God, I'll go back to anybody else, but please not him. It's that bully type of mentality that it's like, if you bring up Jesus, he makes you feel super small and like, you know, what a loser. But I kept putting it on and I was like, do not disturb. Lord, I don't, no, I'm good. But it kept coming up. And so one day I was like, God, you know what, I'm gonna go. And we talked about the Lord and he texted me 2 days ago and he said, I'm leaving town, but what you said stuck with me. I wanna go to the porch with you Tuesday. And I was like, praise God, man. And God offers that to us every single day. And he's going, I just want you to be faithful with the small. And so have an automatic yes in your heart to Jesus, because the small Jesus to yet, or small yeses to Jesus prepare you for the trajectory shaping yeses to Jesus. It's the small. And in college, we're so quick to be like, man, I want to change the world. And he's like, hey, just change your classroom first. Who's that classmate that you're like, not him? And God's like, yeah, that's your Nineveh right now. That's your Nineveh. I know you want that. I know you want that. I put the desires in your heart, but be faithful with that. I know your mom is not a believer, and I know it's scary, but I want you to go talk to her. I know your sibling. I know your sorority sister. Whatever it is, he's putting that in for so long, we're like, do not disturb while asking for this. And Jonah finally shows us that he's like, all right, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. And the scary thing is, though, is that when you say yes to God, when you finally give him your undivided heart, he never allows you to stay still. He never allows you to stay comfortable, which leads me to point number two. Come on, step out. You gotta step out. I'm gonna read this. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. And I don't know if you guys have been reading or following along or noticed, but every single time the author mentions Nineveh, it's with a comma and a phrase. And it's Nineveh, that great city, or Nineveh was an exceedingly great city. And as I'm learning in the Institute, whenever the author repeats himself, it's like, highlight that, lock in. He clearly wants you to be like, that's important. That's important. And it's how terrified was Jonah to go to Nineveh? And I was doing my research, and the Ninevites were the scariest, like, meanest warriors in the land. And they were basically the capital of Assyria. They hated God, hated his people, and they were known for skinning people alive and then impaling them. And so God comes to Jonah, and he's like, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And he's like, my bad, God, I thought you said Nineveh, man. Like, nah. And he's like, yeah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And he's like, what? And so you can see how scared he was. And I know it's scary. And I'm like, what Nineveh did he put on your heart that's scary? Because when God calls a man, he's like, I want you to step out. Peter, I want you to step out and walk. And I'm like, man, I was comfortable right here. I was comfortable. And so what does this mean I don't know if you guys know this, but we all desire comfort. And I'm like, man, this whole Lululemon thing is catching on. I got my Lulus on tonight. I'm feeling smooth. Cooper in the back works for Lulu. It's catching on because we desire comfort. And every commercial on TV is like, hey, how can I get more comfortable? How can I make this easier? But God's going, man, comfort and growth, they don't go together. And so when I call you, I want you now to become dependent on me. And we don't like dependence because it's scary. But when you step out of your comfort zone, you become dependent on God. Paul says, when you're dependent on God, his power is made perfect in your weakness. And so I'm asking you tonight to step out. I don't know what it is. Is it that Bible study on campus? Is it calling that friend? I'm asking you to step out of your comfort zone. And like, it's scary. I know. And some of y'all coming to the nine tonight is that. And like, I'm so pumped you're here. And God is so pumped you're here. And so step out of your comfort zone. I see it all the time as I study the Old Testament. Every character that God used, he called them. And then he said, now I'm going to make you dependent on me. And we said, Abraham, I want you to take your only son Isaac and go sacrifice him. Esther, I call you now. I want you to go risk your life to the king for my people. And Joshua, hey, I'm going to give you millions of people in the Israel army. But Joshua 1:9 is why I can stand on the stage. Because I don't know if y'all know this, but I deal with a lot of anxiety and I struggle with panic attacks. And so public speaking for me has been really, really, really hard. And it's one of those though where I go, okay, God, Joshua 1:9 is either true or it's not. It's either do not be afraid for I am with you, I will never leave you, or it's not. And so I release that and I'm ready to step out and I get scared. I'm back there, man, my legs are starting to shake. I'm like, boy, come on. And it's scary. But get out of your comfort zone and start walking in your calling because that makes you dependent. And God's power is made perfect in that dependence. And so as I'm wrapping up the Institute, right, I grew up here in Dallas and I've had a dream job for 5 years and Institute's wrapping up and I'm starting to look at jobs, right? And the dream job of like my life came to me and it's in Dallas and it's actually at Watermark. And kind of my heroes of the faith came to me. And I was like, God, this is amazing. Like, I put in the work. Thank you, right? And I was like, I can't wait to go. And he was like, actually, you're going to leave. And you're going to go. And I was like, no way. And he's like, yeah, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to go to Branson, Missouri. And I want you to work there. And I'm like, my bad. I thought you said Branson, Missouri, God. My bad. And he's like, I said Branson, Missouri, and I want you to go. And why I'm going? It's because I have tasted and seen that Joshua 1:9 is true and that I can trust him. I can trust him. He has shown me that I can trust him. And so his way is better than my way. I don't want to end up in the belly of a whale. I don't want to. I've been there. I don't want to. And I've trusted because when you trust God, it develops a depth of faith. And the more you take those steps, the more you're like, you are true. You are right. You mean what you say. The Lord is faithful in all his works and kind in all of his words. Psalm 145, 13. And Psalm 145, 16 is the Lord opens his hands. He satisfies the desire of every living creature. And he does that. And Jesus has satisfied my life. And I don't know if you've tasted that yet, but I'm inviting you, do not wait another day. He is the source of eternal life. It's why I'm on this. It's why we do this. It's why the nine exists. It's why you're here tonight. Because everything the world's selling, we're going, tried it. Dang, man, it's not hitting like it should. And so step out of your comfort zone. And when we step out and trust God, finally, he entrusts us to speak the message that he's given to us. And so the third response we see in Jonah's life is that he spoke the message that God gave him. Point number three is speak up. Verse 4. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. And I'm like, can you imagine Jonah in this moment? Right out of the fish, right? He's like, all right, I'm going. I'm gonna go, God. Let's get pumped. All right, what's the message you want me to send them? He's like, lean in, Jonah. It's about to be fire. It's about to be heat. They're not ready for this. Gets out his wood, got his quill pen. He's like, talk to me, God. What is it? He's like, it's 8 words. Walk into the city, and tell them in 40 days, you're all gonna die. And Jonah's like, what? I couldn't have heard you right. And he's like, go say those words. And so Jonah, you know, straps up his backpack on and he's walking into Nineveh, massive city, the great city, known for skinning people alive, especially God's people. So he's not crazy for running in the first place. As we always were like, why would you run? Yeah, he's not crazy for running. And he walks in, right? And he's seeing people and he grabs his glass and he's like, you know, the whole toast thing, city quiets down. And he's like, all right, I got a word from God. And they're like, who's this? And he's like, in 40 days, you're all gonna die. And he sits there, right? And he's waiting for just getting taken, skinned, impaled. But he trusted God. And he was like, in 40 days, you're all gonna die. And all of a sudden he looks up and the whole city is bowing down. The whole city. Verses we're not gonna get into that you should read, even the cows repented. It said they put on sackcloth and the cows repented. And it's like, can you imagine, you know, Jonah hearing that moo and that cow bow down? And he's like, what? And what does that show us? Is that we don't have to be great for God to transform a city. We don't have to come with this big, audacious, powerful speech. God uses our weakness because it's God's message. He didn't ask you to say what you think. He's going, I know it sounds crazy. Speak what I told you. Speak my message. And I don't know what message God has put on your heart, but I know he's put a message on there. And I know you're going, man, are you sure? I would say it like this. And he's like, do you trust me? Because it's not your words that's gonna transform a city. It's not your words that's gonna transform your mom's faith. It's my message. And so speak my message that I give you. How do we do that? We spend intimate alone time with Jesus. 99.9% of your ministry should be alone intimately with Jesus. 1% should be this. 1% should be public. Alone intimately, because that's where Jesus begins to work and craft, and that's how you hear his message. Jonah had 3 days, 72 hours, solitude. You can go crazy for that. A solitary confinement, and they still let solitary confinement out for like an hour. Jonah's in there for 3 days. Speak the message God gave you. And I just like, I'm sitting here, man, and for so long I was like, God, I have to do something great for you. Like, I got to stand up and say something awesome, even preparing for something like this. I'm like, man, I hope they like me. Like, I hope, like, I say something they've never heard. And I just remember, like, hearing so quietly, just like, man, it's not about you. Like, stop. It's not about you. We all have a gift. Nothing special about me. We're all broken sinners, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you know what the whole book of Jonah is about? Not Jonah. It's about Jesus. Because Jesus is the perfected Jonah, right? Jonah, called by God, assumed for a mission. Jesus, called by God, anointed for a mission. Jonah rebelled, ran. Jesus said, yes, I'm running straight to the front lines of humanity. I'm going. Jonah, punished for disobedience. Jesus, punished on the cross for our disobedience. Jonah, thrown over. Jesus in the tomb. Jonah, 3 days in the whale. Jesus, 3 days in the heart of the earth. Jonah, resurrected, walked into a city for a message of repentance. Jesus, rose on the third day for a message of hope and satisfaction and joy. And what's crazy is that we all have the same ability to speak that message today. God has made us ambassadors of Christ. We are the aura of Christ. And so he's given us that same message. What's that message? It's the good news. And if you haven't heard it, I want you to lock in right now. These are the most important minutes of the whole thing. This is why the nine exists. For the good news is that you and I and everybody you can think of, the highest of the high and the lowest of the low, we have all sinned, Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What does that mean? Separated from a perfect, holy God. And I don't know where you grew up in church or what they told you, you cannot earn your way back. It is not by not cussing. It's not by not drinking. It is not by showing up to the nine. It is by one thing, surrendering. So God said, I love you so much, I'm gonna send my son. Jesus came down on that cross. He said, I'm gonna hang on so we could let go. I'm gonna hang on. And he saw us with our reluctant runaway heart like Jonah and like me. And he said, you're worth it. And Jesus paid that price. He walked that road to Calvary. And we're in a room like this 2,000 years later. And he's like, now you can go share it to the ends of the earth. Speak up. Point number three, speak your message that God has given you. What's the message? The good news. I don't care what you look like, what your talent is, what your skill is. God has given us all one mission. Go out and make disciples of all nations. Proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Because he transformed my life, he's transferred yours, and if he hasn't, do not leave tonight. Do not leave. Please come and talk to me. Come and talk to anybody here. Like, we'll tell you, there is only life in one person, the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. Don't waste it. Don't miss it. I've tasted it. Jonah tasted it. To close, when I was hiding in my room and I'm sitting there curled up, my dad found me and he came up to me and he kneeled down and he was like, hey, I'm not mad. Hey, I'm not angry. But let's address what you said. And the reason I ran after you is because I love you. And I saw that you chose that sin in that moment. And I know what that could lead to. So let's address this. And I think a lot of us, we run, right? We run scared. And we're like, God is after us because he's angry. And he's about to punish us. And he's like, no, I'm running after you out of my overflow of love. Like overflow of love. I don't care what you did this morning or last night. I don't care what you did. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For Jonah, for me, and for all the runaways in this room. Stop running, man. Stop running. We see it in Jonah's life. He said yes. And once you say yes, you got to step out. And when you step out in faith and you're dependent on the Lord, he entrusts you with the message. And you speak that thing everywhere. SMU, DBU, wherever you're at, speak that thing. Because when you get to heaven and you see your creator face to face, there's one thing that matters. Not what job you got, not what major you majored in, nothing. What did you do with what I gave you? But you heard it at the nine that night. Like you heard it. And I'm calling you. I'm calling you, specifically you. Someone's in here going, not me. You. God is chasing you. Like we all have a part to play. You all got a voice. I would come in this room and I would sit in the back. And I was like, not me, man. I watch people up here. I'm like, no way, nope. I'm like, when you say yes, you step out and you speak that message, no telling what God has on the other side of your obedience. No telling. There is nothing God cannot do. We sang about it, 1 Corinthians 2:9, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor heart of man ever imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Like, that's crazy. Like, we can't even fathom it. Say yes. Have that automatic yes and start small. Stay small. You know, that's what it's about. And I fail at that often and step out. You know, Gideon had to do it. They all did it. Read your Bible. It's like, you got to step out and then speak up and stop running and start responding because this is your night. Don't waste it. Don't miss it. This is your night. All right, I'm gonna pray. Father, we all have the heart of a runaway, and it's not just Jonah. It's me and it's everybody in this room. And God, I pray right now for the runaway, for the person that's been running. Lord, I pray that you would grab them so tight in your arms right now and you would hold them and you would smile at them and you would kiss them on the cheek and you would say, I'm right here with you. And I sent my son, so you're forgiven, daughter. You're forgiven, son. I don't care. I know what you did. I know what you did. Hey, I know. I saw it. You're still worth it. So, Father, just like you chased Jonah, just like you got a whale, you do what you can out of the abundance of love, Lord, and you got my attention through a similar whale. And I pray, Lord, for whoever's running that you would also use a whale and you would grab them and you would bring them right back. You would say, nope, I got a mission and a purpose for your life. And I love you too much. Lord, I pray that this room would surrender. In Jesus' name, amen.